Okay, you're okay, Sean? Okay, we'll go back to two very important things from last night before we go back to the Marmar Kemis. First of all, to start with a sort of a milsa b'dechusa. So one of our listeners sent in the following interesting fact about his personal cuisine or that of his shviger. I quote, "We had pumpkin pie this past Yontif. I kid you not. As a dessert, and my mother-in-law bakes it all winter. Yeah, it's with lots of sugar and delicious." That's what he, maybe this is your code name. He says, the Mishnah mentions in a Kalayim, that's not so, depends how you tie gourd pumpkin, whatever, that's not so partial, which type you're talking about, but it's possible. Yeah, as I said last night, it's Vat Kosher, Yashon Chav Yisrael, there's nothing wrong with it. And if you eat it, it's not Chukah Seim. I wouldn't have the pumpkin pie on Halloween, though. That's certainly, again, just
what
proves the
cider?
Point.
What about apple cider?
Apple cider, something to do with the holiday?
They seem to be serving it around
Halloween.
I don't know if they serve it on Halloween.
But I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know.
Because that was.
They don't serve pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
I think pumpkin pie is Thanksgiving.
Okay, so that was one. Let me go back to Yaakov's two points. I think this is really fascinating, and it'll bring us to a very important chiluk l'halacha. He started saying last night, as I asked, we finished with the klinkin, we're talking about the l'chaim. Is that kosher? Is not kosher? It seems very Jewish, very high mission. Everybody does it, and he sent to me again anything you get off of the, and that's not Tarmi Sinai, but. It's interesting. There's a book called International Handbook of Alcohol and Culture. If you missed it, you guys just don't know how to live. What can I tell you? It says here, it's amazing how they come up with these things. It says, toasting is probably a secular vestige of an ancient sacrificial libation in which a sacred liquid is offered to the gods, blood or wine exchanged for a wish or prayer summarized in the words long life or to your health. If that's true, we're in big trouble. So Yaakov asks, well, why is L'chaim different, and is it a kosherized version? And then he said, I'm afraid if I'm makbid on all these sources, nothing's going to be mutter. So you don't have to worry about that, because we try to be as makel as possible in general. The trick in Chukos Eim Lo Selechu is that normally you don't ask a thing unless you know for sure. Here it's also misafik. With all that said, I believe it's still mutter. And certainly the minig olam is to say L'chaim. And their Truva is mentioning that already in Mahagim's farm and the like. And nobody really questions it. Based on this source, why not? Why isn't it a problem? The answer is, this is an interesting historical guess. I don't think, it could be there was such a thing. But if L'chaim makes sense that when you are drinking wine, you want to wish something, even though if you think about it for a moment, what's the connection? But if that's the minig, and that's the minig Yisrael across the board, unlike clinking, which I found one or two sfarim that even mention it, then I believe you cannot aser it misafek al chukosayim l'salechu, because it makes sense. Ad might have a makar, they were doing it to the Avodah Zarah also, and the answer is yeah. They went to the Avodah Zarah and wished each other a bracha, or asked the Avodah Zarah for some long life. You can't aser giving people brachas because they asked that from their Avodah Zarahs. So I don't believe that's going to answer. One second. And he says, this is even more of a pella, by handshaking, which already I mentioned to you, there was some Anashim Gedalim who felt uncomfortable and felt it was Goyish. The fact that it's a little Goyish doesn't mean it's necessarily also Al-Sukhlasayim. This one is, I don't know what people come up with these things besides their Schuss and the Yagdot Torah V'Adira. The Egyptian hieroglyphic of an extended hand represents the verb to give. The symbol finds its derivative in the shaking of hands, which represented the legend of handing over power. They don't even say this in Suffolk. They're sure about this. It represented the legend of handing over power from a god to an earthly ruler. Hence the Babylonian ritual of all ancient societies, to quote. He's picking on Bubble. In which the king clasps the hands of the statue, and he even quotes the god. But I don't want to say the name, because that's a different Shailim Pesachim, which we'll discuss. During the New Year's festival, so that his authority is transferred to the next year. When Babylon fell to the Assyrians, this is all in... Daniel and other such ksuvim. When it fell to the Assyrians, hands kept right on shaking, with the new kings carrying out the ancient ritual for fear of offending the gods. This might be true. So then the question is, well, if this might be true, then why don't we ask for misafik? my kul over here, just in the ash of the minig, nobody asks it. There were those who were cheshish that it had a bad makar. It's the same thing, I have a stronger kula by handshaking, as I mentioned last night. There are two good logical reasons why people handshake. They want to make a connection. When you touch, you're making a personal connection. And the theory about always wondering who's trying to poison you by the clinking over here is who is armed, and you want to get his hand, not dipping into his near his belt to grab a sword. It was a way of protecting yourself. First one is certainly true. The second one is anybody's guess. The fact that this might have been also a way to shake the hand of a god to make that connection, just showing you that they're making the connection. I don't believe it's enough to answer, even though it's a little scary. Both these sources, but Lamaisa, the Minig is the Minig, and I believe Lach Lamaisa is Mutter. Yes?
I heard recently, a couple years ago, somebody said that the reason that the Chaim started was they used to give people a certain people that were executed. To differentiate.
Yeah, I've seen that. The Gemara Sanhedrin says they used to give them a very strong drink with a drug to make them very drowsy, so that it, So that's, again, the Shaili is that retrofitting a new minig that was adopted somewhere else. That's what's frightening about the sugya. Lamaisa, a lot of things we're going to be specific about, a lot of things are usher. I think Lamaisa the minig is say l'chaim and mefakfikin, and the handshaking, even though the usher mefakfikin, I believe, is mikra din mutter. And even the maisa we told from the Sapa Kedisha, he did it when the person already was an adam choshev and uncomfortable, like standing there with his hands out. And if he felt it was really usher, he wouldn't have, he would have told him the din. I think that, yes, it probably was done more by the guy and maybe adopted more, but that doesn't necessarily answer it. Somebody, tail end of the Shia two nights ago, asked me about, we're talking about the office, asked about wearing jewelry. If anything, it's a sugi of Lo Yulbush. And when people ask me, on the rare occasion, somebody will call me, it's not usually somebody here from the shul, you understand why we hear the shayla, and he wants to know, is there any problem with wearing a wedding band in the office? Guy's wearing a wedding band. Is it not yeshivish? It's not yeshivish. Is it usher? Can't say right away. Lo yulbush. There were lots of men wearing lots of jewelry when they left Mitzrayim. I know that because in the Chet Egel, they donated a lot of it. So it wasn't lo yulbush because men wore jewelry, and men used to wear chasher. Men used to wear signet rings. Yehuda, Ben Yaakov, and other such notables. So. If a lot of men were wedding bands, can't say it's lo yulbush. Again, don't do it. Rumors fly around. The Rabbi Vina who signed the Kol Kari about the bars just told everybody they can wear a ring. It's not us or it's not us. Or. The question is, do it or not? Okay, so in our Olam, obviously the minhag is not to. The people who ask me usually were asking because they're a little uncomfortable, but they want people to know they're married so they don't start trouble in the office. I said, if you're wearing a yarmulke in the office, that's one that usually won't start up anyway. He said, yeah, I was not wearing a yarmulke. A couple of times people asked me. Okay. And then I understood at least what his style was. They didn't know he was from. Okay, so that's a different shayla under a separate cover. Yes, there was a hand here.
Just in general, like, you know, there are a lot of gedolim stories also that, you know, sometimes a weird minhag will start. Like a story like the brisker of, like, little menorah.
That wasn't about the brisket. Where you must have heard it from a litvak. They say the Rebbe used to bend down, then they found out there was a low drain pipe.
Like okay, yeah, it was like spoiled milk at the wedding.
Yeah, so you have to.
Right, but I'm saying that it could be that along the way, that you know all these things that you're reading in the alcohol guide to America,
to culture, yeah.
Culture, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right, it's not, you know, a lot of these things.
No, I say right away, it's not tiramisu.
Right.
But I'm answering, even if it is true, I wouldn't answer it based on that
right,
over here. Because
how close are you going to be in general? That all
you have to do research. Any story I tell over here about any Gedolim or any historical fact, if I'm not sure, I'll say that. If I didn't verify it to the best of my ability, here we're quoting from non-Halakha Wikipedia or wherever I got it from. It's certainly not Tiramisinai. Lahabdil of Avdolos. And I believe it might have been true. Maybe they did research. But even if they're doing it for the God, to shake the hand of the God is the same reason why you shake a human hand, is you want to make that connection. That doesn't mean they were only shaking the hands of the God. They might have been shaking each other's hands also, which means that you can't answer. That's my point. The same thing with L'chaim. They might have been giving brachas, asking for brachas from the God, but they might have been doing it to each other also. That's my angle of huckle over here. Yeah. Yeah, so what's a little suspect, the handshaking I'm more sure about, what's a little suspect by the wine is that whenever you're talking about wine and libation, it's already more suspect. And that's why I was a little nervous when I saw this makar. But with that, can ask the l'chaim. The clinking in the glass is enough of a tumult. I don't believe you can ask. Again, there's no chiv to do it. You could just drink wine, make kiddush. There's no chiv to eschat ayinim askir. I don't think I've ever in my life made a l'chaim or a toast. You have to be drinking wine to be able to be in the parasha. I wasn't mavatal any asay, I wasn't mavatal any mini gisrael. If you're doing it, then you're into that type of stuff. Okay, so then I don't believe you can answer it, even though based on this, it's a drop nerve wracking. But again, that already saw in Sfarim that they were discussing the l'chaim, and they're probably more makaris to defend that than the clinking. Okay, let's now go to the government hishtadlus with the Romans who are acting like Romans, and they're dressed up as Romans, and they're really Heilige Yidden trying to protect Klai. So I'll go to page 4. On the top right-hand corner of the Beis Yosef, you have the Dibur Maskil, penned in by me to save a paper. Al Tbal Tashkis, 4 words. Misha Karav Lamalchis, Mutter Bichol. If you're Karav Lamalchis and you're dressing like the Romans to mix in, mingle, and be there at the right time to be Mavatul Gzeira, then it's Mutter. So he brings a few Makaris to this in the Beis Yosef. Everybody see at the top line? Besay Perek Maruba, Besay Seita Tanya, Tulad Baruven Etiru Lasaper Kumi, which was a very distinctive Goyusha haircut, which was normally an Issa the Reisa, and they gave him a head to get such a haircut, and they Shakar of the Malchus Haya, and he had to look like one of them to befriend them and mix in. And we say Yeshlomud, Lachal Shar Devarm, Hachanami Katani, Hassam Shal Beis Rabbi Gamliel, Nu, the Nasi, the Beis Anasi, Etiru Lam Lomud Chachma Yevanis. Normally they assert to get into Greek culture and to learn what was termed Chachma Yevanis. We might, on the separate cover, have to explain exactly how you define Chachma Yevanis, but that's not important for now. But normally what was also for the rest of Klai Yisrael, they allowed them to do it, Neshe Kreven L'malchus Hayu, which means that they had to be able to mingle. They often, we have many stories in Mar Sukkah, they're traveling to Rome, they had to be able to mingle and have a discussion with them. I tell people who talk about the challenge at work of having any common ground with the Goyim in the office to be able to talk shop, but just talk business. You know, you go out to lunch, 98% of it is schmoozing, and 2% is business. So they often forenfer, Shaila, is that forenfering or is it chicken or the egg? But they said, you know, I really wouldn't want to follow sports at Bithatar, but I have to because I have to have something to talk about. Okay. If that's true, then that's relatively kosher. It's certainly better than putting on a Roman suit and at least he lets you wear a yarmulke, lets you show up, kosher restaurant. If you have to discuss something, he's not going to want to hear divrei Torah, so you discuss the most kosher thing you could find and get that common ground. But that's the problem here in this God. They wanted to be able to converse with them and sound intelligent, so they matter the Chochma Yevanis for this. And mind you, the Rabbi Gamliel, based on that, is dealing with the Romans, and they were learning Chochma Yevanis, which is Greek, but that's not Akasha, because it was talking about the philosophy, the other things they were learning, which was learned a later tekufa as well. Zeh lashon Rambam, Yisrael sheyakav l'malchus tzar leishev levnei malkehem, to sit before their monarchs, or the senators, v'ahayel ganai lefi. Now, ganai, here's an interesting word, because don't run away with this, because unfortunately a common line of the Reformed Jews who were in America long before the Orthodox came in great numbers, and they had big tainas on the from people, you're embarrassing us and you're embarrassing yourself, and it's ganai and it's un-American, and it's all the tainas of the yarmulkes and the tzitzis and the hats and the payas. That was always used, and it's still felt among somebody who doesn't understand this. Ganai, how can you do it? That's not what he means. Ganai doesn't mean that you should be embarrassed of your Yiddishkeit. It means when you're sitting in the halls of power and you have to get on the good side, you're trying to get them to think that you're one of them so they can feel that they should listen to you, then the ganai is going to make a difference. And he spells it out. They won't look like them. Today, I have nothing good to say about liberals, but one of the nice things about America is you can at least outwardly wear your yarmulke, go to Washington, go to the Hanukkah party in the White House and look very Jewish, and they won't necessarily hold it against you. But that's a recent phenomenon, and that was never the case before, and they had to be there, and they had to mingle with them. They matter the clothing, they matter the knowledge, the Greek discussions, they matter the haircut. And now the big question is, how? So this is the race. How did they matter this? Vim Taimar. It's a very important question with two very different answers. In Taimar, Kivin the Midaraisa Asiri Hanachmili. This is an Issa Daraisa with Malchus, Amokan Amiloki, liable. This is not an asmachta, and it's not if a drabon would also be serious. A real daraisa with real malchus. How? We know why. How did they matter it? What did they do with the Issa Daraisa here? So there are two teruts. If I'd ask anybody here before you see these two teruts, and you'd say it's sakana tafashas. No. Everything is mutter mitam sakana tafashas, unless it's direct avodah zarah, shvichas dam, or gezeirah, right? There's not one of them. Even like a taina, maybe it's a shemitah avodah zarah, but it's a separate Issa. Problem is the Nazbi Yehuda. Nazbi Yehuda says clearly, and I quote the Nazbi Yehuda because it's a rule for the whole sugya. He's talking about autopsies in the time of Nazbi Yehuda. And autopsies normally is the race of nivul ames, you got to bury the whole body. It's normally elsewhere. Hanaf lames, nivul ames, hanaf is a shayla if you're only looking at it. That's what we'll get into that later. But it's an iser. So Nazbi Yehuda says it's mutter to do an autopsy if you have a magefa leilenu in front of you and you're trying to figure out the reason and there's a direct cause right now and you have to research right now. Not stam autopsies as most of the time they're done for the furtherance of medical knowledge long term. Training medical students, which might be important if there weren't an Isser over here, or if you're working with a cadaver of an Akum where there's no Isser Hana, and there's no Isser, no Chiv Kfura. But for a year to be over this Isser is a problem unless it's a Sakana Lifonecha. How you define Lifonecha nowadays is a good question. Tamina Bida, University of Prague, if they had a problem, they were the hospital in Prague, they would investigate it. There's Chiddush, they're doing autopsies then already. But it was the beginning of modern medicine, I guess. And he says, that's the only case is mutter. It's got to be a sakan lefanecha. Today, you can find it, well, everybody's online everywhere in direct communication, and there could be a chedl in Australia. They need something over here. So if they find a cause, they might actually help somebody. It depends. Is it general research, or is there a mad rush with tremendous federal funding to find a cure for, I won't even bother saying it online, because whatever. When they're trying to, there was a mad rush to find a cure for something which they're working on all over the world. And the knowledge that was shared by everybody right away was important for that. And they actually made headway. That Yehuda might matter that if there were many Yidden who were in need of the assistance. The reason I bring this up over here is because if you just give an answer that it's sakanas nefashos, you're going to have a problem with this Nazbi Yehuda. It's not, they didn't start doing a shtadlis in the government because it was a direct sakana now. They did it years and years and years in advance to have a lobby in the government so when the gzeira would come, they'd be able to deal with it. That's very not direct. It could be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. So then, what's the heter? So we'll discuss that right now. But it's not pusher. And timer, given the rights of Siri, Adamil, again, milking on me, lucky allow, hecha, yakabi, acham, lahati, isatar, lekov, yamachos, yesh, leimar. Answer number one. Dimishom atzolos Yisrael yeshka biyadam lahater l'ksheish Yisrael kraven l'malchus aindim beperitz, because they need Jews there at all times to bridge the gap and stand in the breach, so to speak, levatel l'gzeiris. K'dashcham b'ravuven ben eshrubli b'mesachas me'ila u'gavra disa perik l'chaside Gemara and Tainus, the Gemara tells also some ice, they met Yidden who were mamish undercover dressed like Romans. And they were there, or Babylonians, they were there to help out. So, why do you need the Chum to matter this if it's a Kansla Foshas? I believe the answer is because there's Nazbi Yehuda. After Nazbi Yehuda, I don't need a Kashan or Teres Sebes Yetziv. It's direct Kansla Foshas. The answer is it's not. It's planning in advance because, by and large, we know over time there's a need for lobbyists. So, Chumim recognized that, and therefore they said, we're telling you to go ahead and do this because if you don't do it, there's definitely going to be Sakan Stafashas, opposed to Nazbi Yehuda saying, well, either you need Sakan in front of you, can't just do research because maybe in 50 years you'll find something. Here the Chum assessed that it's not immediate, but if you don't have something now, in 50 years it's going to be a direct Sakan, and therefore they mounted it. But you need the Chum to assess that and come out with that head. It wasn't it was a long-term Harosh Shah. It was basically saying that the Nazbi Yehuda applies over here, if I can put it in short. Nazbi Yehuda says it's got to be something in front of you because just to constantly do medical research without knowing whether it's ever going to be Nogea is not mutter. He's the Chumim, they says with answer. The first area is the Chum assessed that we need people in positions like this because it was always a problem. We don't know when, we don't know where, but we know it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And therefore, they labeled it as the Sakanas Nefashos. And the Nazbi Yehuda, of course, would agree. So I don't believe it's just a Harosh Shah. Harosh Shah in regards to, had they seen America now, they wouldn't allow it. Okay, so that's Harosh Shah. What wasn't the Elam Void? It was on a perneed basis. But not that they're rescinding it. They're only saying, do it where it applies. Unfortunately, for the last 2,000 years, it applied. For the last 50 years, it doesn't. Baruch Hashem. That's the difference. He's going to say that at the end. It's not a blanket head that they can start dressing however they want. It's on a per-need basis, the amount they need for the level of comfort to mix with the people in power. That's the hetter. Yes?
Is it because at any time, let's say that the goyim could turn, we don't know when?
Not they could. It was so constant. Every other Gemara, they went on a ship to Rome to rescind. The Gezeras were, it wasn't every day, but it was common. Antoninus and Rebbe, they had a couple decades where they didn't, but it was constant enough that Chazal felt, we got to make a low plug, lakul over here. We need people there. And the Nadbi, of course, would have to agree with that. I'm just fitting it in with the Nadbi Huda's notion.
Is there a chazaka with all non-Jewish nations? Or is this...
There was a chazaka for 2,000 years. Now, no. In America, no. It's not necessary. We see it's not necessary. It's clear. That's the first teretz. Let's go to the second teretz. It's very different. Before we get there, there's one more raya. The first word, Lan Schabez Manalef. Vahanu. This is an interesting application, by the way. All the ones that he brought so far were about people the Gemara tells were dressed like Romans or Bavliim and undercover. Now he brings the example of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Vahanu Tuf Yeladim. David Melch had 400 children from Yafaz Teir. Shadavish Yu Masapri Kumi, and they had the special Glacier haircut. The Gemara says, very interesting, and the head of his army, he had his green berets, and they were all children, safest people for a king to have in his army. He put them in the front. They were children of Yafaz Teir, so they looked not too Yiddish in the first place, genetically, which tells me they were probably bigger and huskier than the rest of the army. And he allowed them to take this very goyish haircut and dress the part, so when the goyim would face David HaMelech in battle, they'd see, uh-oh, look what's going on the front there. He must have conquered some nation. He already took them into his army. We're finished. We're gone. They would get scared. Psychological warfare. And they would be already running the other direction.
Not because they were big. It was because they were from all the nations. These are my conquests.
Yeah, but they looked... It doesn't help if you put a special haircut on them, and they have very Jewish features with a beard and payas. It's not going to do the trick. They looked the full party, and he insisted they looked the part. Ah, what happened to Chukas Emelis Aleichem? It's the same idea. Is it the Rex HaKasal Foshel? Of course not. Don't melech a lot of Siat HaShemaya. There were a lot of Nisim. He knew how to fight. Gantz fine. There were some good Jewish warriors. Yoyev and Avner weren't slouches. But Lamaisa, war is dangerous, and Don't melech did lose some men. We know that. So the more kayach psychologically you can have in the front to scare them out of their wits, the more lives we save, that's considered a general sakana, even though there's no direct threat. Interesting. So that's also something you'd have to plug the Nadbiyuda into. Fascinating application. And they matter this Isser of Chukos Hashem for them. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two. V'ayde Shlama. It's a very different teretz. Ayde Shlama. First line is Lamer. Everybody have it? Shatayra Lapir Shadavar Ela Stama. Teretz didn't define Chukos Hashem L'Salechu. This is a very... different teretz with big nafkaminas. He says the teretz didn't spell out exactly what it is. That's why we're spending, and will be spending, quite an amount of time to figure out what is the exact parameter of Chukos Hashem L'Salechu. Teretz wrote, Chukos Hashem L'Salechu, Masra Adavar L'Chachamim. This should sound a little familiar, especially in the last month or so. There are only a couple of derises that even have such a notion, and it's always a Machalikus Rishayim. Here it's two teretz on the base Yasif. It says the derisa is there, but the derisa isn't a fixed derisa. The parameters were given up to the Chum to decide what's included in Chukos Hashem and what's not. Whatever they say is becomes an Isdareis, whatever is not becomes Mutter. What am I thinking of? There's only one, maybe two other examples. One famous example of this where many Rishonim say, what? Chalamoid. Chalamoid is a three-way machlekes. What is Chalamoid? Some Rishonim holds Dereisa, some hold Drabonim. The Be'er Lacha brings the third option, that is Dereisa Mosul Chachamim. If you never heard this concept, it's a very hard concept to understand, but it means the same thing it means over here. That is, that it's Doraisa, but the Doraisa was left to Chazal to explain, based on Torah Baal Peh, which malachas they think the Torah meant are mutter, and which are also the ones that are mutter, mutter lagami, the ones that are also not asame daboran, they become asame Doraisa. A fascinating, fascinating concept. It doesn't appear, it's less than the fingers of one hand. But the second Torah is the base. He's not sure about this, and the Chalmud is not another portion either. He says... first teretz is long-term sakhan stafashis. David Melch used it in battle, and Chazal used it with the Romans and the Greeks and everybody else. Second teretz is, no, it was never an Isdareis in the first place. This is less of a chiddush in a way, because then you don't have to bump into the problem of the Yehuda, not direct sakhan stafashis. That's what you're avoiding. And the second teretz is, but it's a different chiddush, is that, well, it's daraisa is a pasuk chukasayim lezalechu. The definition, the parameters are up to Chazal, and when Chazal decide whatever's mutter and whatever scenario is mutter, which they only matter over here, in the case of the government ishtadlus and wartime, even though it's not direct sakas lefash, they felt that was mutter because that's due cause, and whatever is also remains in issur daraisa with malchus. That's what he's coming out, and Uri, we will still get to, well, maybe they mattered if Masl Kham, maybe they mattered business, losing money, making money, so we still have to discuss that. Let's just finish off over here. First line is Adam. V'lo lost from the Kerem L'malchus. They didn't ask her for Kerem L'malchus. V'kro chukasem l'selechu. No, where's that going to apply if you're in the government? Yiskayim b'kro v'malchus. Even with Kerem L'malchus, they still have the Isser. B'dvarim she'ena malam v'lo maridin l'nyin krovas l'malchus. They still have an Isser to start wearing crazy t-shirts and crazy haircuts when they retire. Or when they're not in the government, the Isser still belongs there. Just in this scenario, it doesn't. Since it's Masl Chachamim, it remains mutal gamri for them, and this is the race in any other scenario. Interestingly enough, we're going to see next week in Mitzvah Shem, the Taz, when he brings it down the Lacha, I'm going to show you the Shulchan Aruch next week itself, the Taz brings down the second reason. That's Masl Chachamim, not that they were mattering it for Sakans Tafashis. It's still true, the second Taz agrees they mattered it for Sakans Tafashis, but the problem is it wasn't direct Sakans Tafashis. Here they're saying, but there's a need, and it's clear they're doing it for this purpose, the safety, security of Klai Yisrael. Chazal cited that, but wasn't included in the Isser. And they have the Isser only when they don't need it. Similar to the Chol HaMoed split up, and a Mitzvah Shem will go over that next week.